Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to be together again. We are looking these last several days at the book of Nehemiah, and I have a title of this message, God's Call to His Church, because we don't just want to learn historical facts about the Word of God, but we always need to find, when we read God's Word, application for our life. Yes, there's poetic books, there's historical books, but we, while it's good to understand the basic framework and understand context and the circumstances and events that were going on as far as any particular moment in time, the chronology, yet it's the spiritual lessons that we want to lay hold to and benefit and profit by the examples that God gave us in the Word of God. And so what we looked at as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, Nehemiah was greatly upset when he heard some of his friends came from Jerusalem and they told him this condition of Jerusalem, that they were in great reproach. There was affliction. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. And when he heard those words, it was a burden from God, but he grieved for his countrymen. He grieved for his people. It says he sat down and he wept and he mourned and fasted certain days and he prayed. And we're not talking, sometimes we think as you read this, he just prayed this one prayer. No, he was seeking God for a period of time. And he says to the Lord, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. And he confesses their sin, and this, that we have sinned. He's identifying, we have sinned, both I and my father's house. We've dealt very corruptly against thee. And then he reminds the Lord of the Word of God, as we are to do, the promises in God's Word. He said, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, excuse me, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. In verse 11, Nehemiah continues praying. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So what do we see? The first thing that Nehemiah does, because he's so grieved and he seeks God, he gets alone with God. He has time alone with God. And what happens when we really seek God? God will give us a vision for our personal life. I'm not necessarily speaking of a supernatural vision, you know, with the heavens open, but that he gives you a direction, he gives you a burden. Have you a God-given burden and vision? Do you mourn for the body of Christ? Do you mourn for the unsaved? Are you grieved for unsaved loved ones and family members and friends whose ears are just dull and they've not been open to receive the gospel? Are you seeking God, and are you doing all that you can do in terms of prayer and seeking the Lord in their behalf? Because you know victories are won in intercession. We all have a ministry of prayer. We are called to intercede for our loved ones. We're to pray for our nation, to pray for those in authority, as Paul told Timothy, that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. And so this is what the first thing that we see Nehemiah do. He gets alone with God. He finds out, because he's so grieved, he's got to seek the Lord. What is he to do? Is it just to pray? Or is there something further he must do? And it's in those quiet times that we have with the Lord that God speaks to our heart as to if there's some specific thing, directive, he would have us follow beyond prayer. Sometimes it's just a matter of prayer, and I shouldn't just say just, because there's any great work of God, any revival, anything that is positive and lasting and brings glory to God has been undergirded with prayer. And so, going back to Nehemiah, as far as his particular circumstances and situation, it was December in 446 BC, and he is at Shushan, the chief city of Elam, which was the winter residence of the Persian court. His prayer came from a heart that was truly humbled before God, and as we noticed, as I shared, it claimed the promises of God, and it was also a prayer of personal identification. He included himself, and we see this as a pattern throughout Scripture. I'm thinking now of Daniel, how he mourned and fasted 21 days, and he prayed for the sins of the nation. He was a godly man. And do we mourn for how far America has gone from their God? The way that we used our society has so disintegrated and degenerated in my own lifetime. I am in my 70s, but not that there hasn't always been wickedness and sin, but there's been such a deterioration of the fabric of the family, of society, of our institutions, of education. Our youth are without a compass. It's terrible to see the condition. And do you realize, you know, again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. In other words, God lays the charge of the condition of a society at the church, at the body of Christ, because if we will seek God, if we will pray, if we will humble ourselves, if we will turn from our wicked ways, then God would he would hear our prayer. He would forgive our sin and heal our land. So, beloved, it doesn't matter what your station in life. You may be a homemaker. You may be a father, a provider for your family. You whatever profession, whatever craft or trade you may be in, whatever, you could be in office work, whatever your position, God has a vision for you personally, and he wants you to be praying for those who he's placed in close proximity to your heart as well as to your physical being, your neighbors. He wants you to be roused from, you know, those that are asleep in Zion. He wants to wake us up. And so it was a prayer of personal identification. His prayer was not selfish, as many of our prayers are. If we're honest, you know, we go through all the things that we want God to do in our lives, and then, of course, our family, our loved ones. But he sought the Lord in behalf. It was a selfless prayer. And after prayer, the amazing thing is he had heard from God and he acted. Some of us pray but never act. Some of us act but we never pray. And some of us, we act and then we pray. But Nehemiah shows us the proper sequence. You know, just a few verses of Scripture, but important lessons in how God wants us to respond. And it's interesting that he probably prayed about 4 months. It's not just that one prayer that's recorded in that first chapter, but he waited before God. God had an amazing plan for him, but it didn't You know, and obviously it just didn't happen the very first time he prayed. God spoke to his heart. And have you found, if you've done that with God, he develops a plan of action. And we have to make sure it's God's plan. That's why it's important to wait upon him. So he probably prayed about 4 months, and this may have taken place during a vacation period, if you will, when the royal court was out of residence. And when he was back on duty, his heart was still burdened and heavy. He was greatly concerned about his people. He mourns their condition. His mourning immediately follows a prayer of confession, which we've shared. He acknowledges sin and the justice of God. And in this time of waiting on God, a great commitment is forming in his heart. Beloved, in anything we ever attempt to do for the Lord, there are factors that we simply have no control over. So God has to arrange them. And as an example, we see this is true in Nehemiah's case. And I'm going to read the first 3 verses of chapter 2. But it says, he was sad before the king. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then was I very sore afraid. Because he was the king's cupbearer, it wasn't permitted to be sad in the presence of the king. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And then in verse 4 it says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And then he prayed to the God of heaven. So we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out what his response is. And we'll continue in this marvelous scenario of the birthing of a tremendous vision. And God's speaking to many of you. He's given you a vision for the time in which we're living. He knows what he has called you to. And there's a, you know, the vision is yet for an appointed time. And God's speaking to many of his people now that this is a time. We've come into the kingdom for such a time as this, that we are going to do great and mighty exploits in the name of our God. Well, I must stop here. The announcer is going to give our contact information. And if you would like the power of agreeing prayer, if you would like me to join with you for clarity regarding whatever God has been speaking to your heart, or situations with loved ones, whatever it is, I invite you to write and share those needs. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Oh.